Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I begin the sermon today, I want to start with these words that I will come back to time and again. Words of Jesus. He says, "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" We have two lessons today that deal with surviving time on the sea. Both also are an example of tumultuous weather on the sea. In our Old Testament lesson, we have Jonah. Jonah was called by God to be a prophet. He was called by God to proclaim the word of the Lord. Jonah is told by God that he is to go to Nineveh, to that land to proclaim what the Lord had proclaimed, that they were to repent or he would destroy them. Jonah says, "I don't want to do it." He says, "Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get on a boat and go the exact opposite direction from which God has told me." He also thinks that he can somehow flee from the presence of the Lord, as though the Lord is not omnipresent, that is, present everywhere, as if the Lord is not omniscient, that is, all-knowing, or omnipotent, which is all-powerful. He is. You cannot flee from the Lord and expect to hide from him. And yet Jonah did that. And his reason was not that he didn't fear God or love God or trust God, but he really did not want God to forgive Nineveh. Nineveh was treacherous and wicked and evil, and they had done evil things also to God's people, and Jonah simply did not want God to forgive them. So he goes on a boat, and he goes the opposite direction, and God creates a tumultuous storm. God is the God that has created the seas and the dry land. God has created all things. Jonah decides, you know what, I just don't want to deal with it. I'm going to go take a nap. You ever that feeling where all you want to do is crawl back in your bed and say, "I don't want to adult today"? Yeah, I know that happens to me. So Jonah does it. He goes down into the deep parts of the boat and he takes a nap, hoping to escape, leaving all these sailors to fend for themselves. They all cry out to their own gods and they pray that they will be saved. But the problem with every other god is that every other god is deaf and it is mute because there is no other god. There is no other name that can save. And so their prayers fail. And so the captain comes down to Jonah and he says, "Wake, O sleeper, tell me what is this? What is going on?" Jonah admits the truth. He says, "This storm has come because of me. My God, the true God, Yahweh, the one who has created all things, has told me to go to Nineveh, and I did not listen, and now he has caused this great raging storm." So he says, "Go ahead, throw me overboard, and then you will be saved." But these men don't want to shed his blood, because surely if they throw this man overboard, especially in a great sea, tumultuous waves raging, he would die. But nevertheless, they can get no further to the land. And so they pray. "We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood, for you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you." So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. The Lord's will is going to be done. Jonah didn't want to go and proclaim the words of the Lord so that people would repent and return to him. And yet, look what happens on that boat. On the same boat that he tried to hide from God's plan, God used Jonah to convert the men on that ship that day. For the men then feared Yahweh exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to him, and they took vows. Their hearts were converted by a man who didn't even want to do the Lord's work or his will. And then something miraculous happens. For God sends one of his creation to save Jonah from drowning. God sends a great fish and swallows Jonah. And I'm not talking about some figurative fish. I'm not talking about some hyperbole or anything like that. I'm talking about a literal fish swallowed this man of God, and for 3 days he spent time in the belly of that fish. Why do I believe that? Because God's word says it to be true. And what happens to Jonah? God sends that fish to spit him out right on the shores of Nineveh, right where God had told him to go in the first place. Jonah then would submit to God's will, and he would go through that city, and he would proclaim that message of repentance, that the wickedness of the people needed to be turned away from. They needed to return and repent and confess. And God's word worked. For even the king heard of it. He tore his clothes and he sat in sackcloth and ashes, and he consecrated a fast, a time of repentance, and God saved that people. Jonah wasn't very happy about it, but the Lord's will was going to be done. Eventually, God would destroy Nineveh. God would destroy them because they would refuse to repent. But here in this time, God used Jonah to proclaim his word that they might repent. That means that there is time to repent. There is time to return. God is patient. He is long-suffering, and he loves his creation. Now that we've looked at Jonah, a man trying to flee from God's will, a man stuck in a raging storm, a man who is asleep, we turn to the God-man, Jesus Christ. In our gospel lesson, he is also in a boat. His disciples are with him. Just after Jesus had told them the strong cost to be called one of his followers, one of his students, now they are on a boat. And suddenly, on that boat, a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with waves. And what was Jesus doing? He's sleeping. He's taking a nap. Jesus sleeps here not as Jonah does, not because he's trying to escape, but rather he has peace. Oftentimes, we lose sleep because we are not at peace. We are anxious. We are troubled. Jesus has peace. Even in the midst of the storm, Jesus can be sleeping because he knows that all things are in his Father's hands. Jesus knew that the reason he came to this earth was not so that he would drown and die with his disciples on a boat, but rather he knew that he would go to the cross, that on that cross he would take the sins of the whole world upon himself and suffer even death to take away our sins. But they wake him. These are not ordinary men who've never been on the waters before. These are fishermen. And not just the avid fisherman who enjoys it in his spare time. That was what they did for a living. They spent a lot of time on boats casting nets, and even when the sea would rage, they knew what they were doing. But they are scared. They wake him and they say, "Lord, save us, we are perishing." And what does Jesus say to them in response? "Why are you fearful? Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? You focus so much on the storm that you forget that I am the master of it. I am the master of the winds. I am the master of the seas. I'm the master of all of these things. All these things are in my hand. Focus on me." We're fearful, though, aren't we? We don't understand things. We get scared because we're told to be afraid. And yet, Jesus' rebuke is for us, too. "Why are you fearful, O you of little faith?" Our faith grows weak at times. It grows dim when we become afraid. It even strengthens that fear and that despair. But the more we study God's word, the more we hear his word proclaimed to us by preaching and by reading and by hearing, the stronger our faith becomes. And we recognize that there are many storms in this life. There are actually many things that seek to devour us, seek our lives as well. And yet our eyes are fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of the faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last. Our eyes are not on the world around us. Our eyes are not fixated on the fears that this world drives a wedge between you and your God with. Our eyes are fixed on the master of the storms of this life. Jesus never said that if you follow me, there won't be storms. Rather, he said, if you follow me, I will be with you through the storm. I will be with you. I will reach out my hand to you. Take it and live. And maybe that even means that you're going to die. But in me you will have life. The men marveled. Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? This is the same word by which the oceans were made. The same word by which the dry land was formed. The same word that created Adam and Eve and all of creation. This word has taken on flesh in the womb of a virgin. It has gone before us, and it proclaims to the wind and the seas to be still. In our introit for today from Psalm 107, these words were written. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. He commandeth and he raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. God is in control. He always has been. We have forgotten his providential hand in our lives. Throughout history, Christians who have gone before us have seen that all things are in his hands. That sometimes God will even send storms that his will may be done, as with Jonah. That God will send storms to draw his people back to him, not to flee from him, but to return to him. And for all the times that we have been afraid, all the times that we have feared, even though we are to walk through the valley of the shadow of death with him, and we are not to fear evil, we repent and we return. God forgives us. This very day, he uses water to remind you that you are cleansed, to remind you that you are his children. As he sent a flood to wash away the sins, he washed away yours as well. Jesus Christ will be with us presently, and he will give you his body and his blood to eat and to drink, not metaphorically, but literally, because he has given it to us, so that we might receive the forgiveness of sins, that our faith may be strengthened. Jesus does not leave us alone to fend for ourselves. Rather, he is the calm in the midst of the storm. He is the one who has declared all good things to us. Fix your eyes on Jesus and live. The church sings, seek whom you may to be your stay. None can redeem his brother. All helpers failed, this man prevailed, the God-man and none other. Our servant king, of whom we sing, we're justified because he died, the guilty being guiltless. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.